Welcome to Healthcare Aptitude, where healthcare's thought leaders will examine ways to address the rising costs of care in America. We'll also examine how the latest advances in mobile apps are helping hospitals and health systems bend the cost curve and improve patient engagement.
Welcome to Healthcare Aptitude, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Tom Testa, along with my co-host, Bruce Kennedy. And Bruce, we've got another great show lined up for our listeners today, as we'll be joined by Dr. Jay Steinberg.
Thanks, Tom. For our regular listeners and even our new listeners, I will fully admit that I'm not normally the gushy kind, but I will tell you now that I am really, really happy to be talking with Dr. Jay Steinberg this afternoon and have him on our show. Jay has recently joined the Mobile Smith Health team, and I couldn't be prouder to have him as a guest on our show. Just as a bit of background here, Jay will be working as a clinical advisor with many of our product development and business development and clinical solutions team members, with really the goal of advising and providing insight on perioperative environments and perioperative improvement processes. I think one of the things that most excites me about Jay, you know, notwithstanding his long background as a surgeon, but it's his passion for perioperative improvement. And I got to be quite frank, in my 20 plus years in healthcare, you know, the number of surgeons who invest their time in really improving the perioperative process, I've always found somewhat lacking. And I think Jay has stepped up along with some of his colleagues and said, hey, listen, we want to make this process better for both the providers and the patient. And as a surgeon, I want to be a part of that. So that excites me a great deal. And that's why I'm really excited about the impact Jay will have on Mobile Smith Health as we move forward, quite frankly.
We certainly hear the excitement in your voice, and I think it's excellent. So that just shows the impact of Jay joining Mobile Smith Health. And before we get to Jay, and we can't wait to dive into it with him, is this a new position with Mobile Smith, right? Or a new post, the clinical advisor?
This is a new post for Mobile Smith Health. We've never had a clinical advisor. And Jay, in his role as a medical professional, as a provider, is the first person to fill a role like this with the organization. Over the last, I'd say, probably 30 to 45 days, we have created organizations that are seeking perioperative leaders, and we've created an organization that's focused on product development. But Jay's role here is really pivotal and probably closer than the other types of boards that we've sought to create. Jay's going to work integrally with us day to day with our various teams, and that's very unique for Mobile Smith Health at this point.
That's great. Well, without further ado, it's time to welcome to Healthcare Aptitude, Dr. Jay Steinberg. Jay, thanks very much for joining Bruce and I today.
My pleasure.
So, Doctor, as Bruce touched upon a few minutes ago, you have quite an impressive background as a board-certified cardiothoracic surgeon, but your experience as a researcher and educator goes beyond the operating room. Before we get into the heart of today's conversation, something we're definitely looking forward to, it would be great if you could just share with our listeners a little bit more about the two decades' experience as a surgeon, researcher, and educator.
Sure. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Bruce. It's my pleasure to be here today. As you sort of alluded to, over two decades, I've been sort of wearing different hats. I've been a clinician, thoracic surgical oncologist, working with patients with different various disease processes, such as lung cancer, esophageal cancer, and any diseases of the chest, malignant and non-malignant. But I've sort of always felt like beyond the clinic, that there was a lot of work to be done in terms of leading and building programs. So with the couple community hospitals I've been at over the last two dozen years, I've taken an active role in putting together lung cancer programs in terms of screening, incidental nodules found, how all those things are in a multidisciplinary fashion worked up, how they're treated, mainly to facilitate patient care and improve outcomes. And in terms of research and education, you know, back even in my surgical day as a resident, I took a very keen interest in research. I spent 2 years in our research lab where we developed very clinically relevant models of what's called sepsis-induced ARDS. That's sort of coming back full circle now with COVID-induced lung injury. And I'm on an advisory board of a biopharmaceutical company that's trying to repurpose the drug we actually used 15, 20 years ago to treat this in the lab. So, you know, a lot of my background also was focused on research. I see that coming full circle. Education-wise, I think not only educating patients, but educating other clinicians. And I've had a very large role in educating residents and medical students in the institutions I've been involved in clinically, teaching them in the OR, outside the OR, on rounds, you know, how to operate, how to work up patients, and overall just how to be a good doctor. But I think what probably led me on to, you know, my current sort of position and thinking and where I am. And although over the years, I had great mentors in teaching me, I think, one of the golden rules of medicine, which is treat your patients like your own family. I had the fortunate or unfortunate experience 2 years ago to be a patient. I actually underwent a very significant abdominal surgery, what turned out to be fortunately a benign pancreatic cyst, but in that course, suffered some pretty significant complications. And although those complications weren't necessarily related to, you know, patient compliance or things like that, that we know can be improved, it sort of alerted me to a more sensitive awareness of what patients go through during their process, both pre-op, interoperatively, post-operatively, and how their engagement is so important. Their education and engagement is so important because knowing what I knew as a surgeon actually helped with some of the outcomes that I had in, you know, being able to speak to what was going on with me during those complications to the house staff. And what it did, I think, was just raise an awareness of surgical quality and safety. And so after that experience, I joined and then I took over and led for the last 2 years our surgical committee that focuses on patient safety and quality and improving outcomes. And that sort of then led me to see what Mobile Smith Health was doing in terms of, in general, you know, being a company to create this perioperative app that specifically creates a digital platform that is really comprehensive health technology to, you know, help patients engage in their own journey and help providers track their own journeys to improve compliance.
Jay, thank you so much for sharing your personal medical story. And for our listeners, just so you know, Tom and I had discussed this with Jay prior to coming on board. So I wanted to let you know, we didn't just kind of accidentally walk into that area. It was pre-discussed. So once again, Jay, thank you for disclosing. There was a movie, I'm going to date myself, almost 30 years ago called The Doctor. And it was about a surgeon who went through a experience medically where he lost his voice and couldn't practice and those kind of things. And I wonder, you know, Jay, you developed this passion probably before having that experience, and then it sounds like it intensified afterward, this need to really dive into the perioperative process. When you think about your medical training and training of your colleagues, not that this needs to be an expose, but, you know, based on your experience, do we spend enough time in medical schools helping physicians understand patient engagement from the patient perspective? I know that there's always additions to coursework and always new modules of courses to take in terms of patient engagement, but it seems as though you might even say that there's something lacking there, and it's something that seems to only be truly found through getting into the field and experiencing it one-on-one. I mean, is there a balance or answer there we're missing?
No, I think you're absolutely 100% correct. As a matter of fact, there's several things that aren't emphasized in medical school and then throughout, you know, residency for physicians who are then in training before becoming, you know, attendings. And one of them, absolutely, as you're alluding to, is sort of the patient experience. You know, yes, you're right. There's limited time to study disease processes and how to diagnose them, how to treat them, all the evaluations that go into becoming a good, meticulous physician. But it is completely overlooked and fairly non-existent in terms of the actual patient experience, what that means, what they go through, the education of the patients. I think we take for granted that if we, in one office setting, explain everything to a patient about their preoperative sort of journey and then their operative expectations and postoperative course and what to look for in one visit, how can we expect that a patient is going to absorb all of that, not have questions? Although, you know, I always encourage patients to ask questions, but I think we take for granted that most patients don't do that. They don't speak up, they don't ask questions. And so specifically to your point, not only is it not really in education, but there's time constraints and things like that. Diving ahead a little bit, which is why I think this kind of technology, this perioperative app, is so critical, because it makes up for that lack of time that one has to spend or patients have to absorb in one setting, everything they need to know. And this gives them a digital platform to keep reminding them along the way, you know, what to do, what to look out for, right? And then it gives the clinician a dashboard to monitor to help improve that compliance when they can modify their behavior before it becomes too late.
Jay, just to follow up on what you were saying there, why do you think it's overlooked, the patient experience in things like med schools and, you know, during the internships and whatnot, or clinicians? Obviously, they're focused on being clinicians, and that's first and foremost, but the patient experience, that ties into things like, you know, maybe bedside manner and the overall patient experience. So why do you think it's overlooked?
Well, I think number one, most physicians, they may have been a patient once or twice in their life, but maybe not for anything very serious. So I think it's overlooked by the educators. You know, I can't probably speak to every reason, but I could probably, you know, theorize a few. Number one, beginning back to what I said, there is a limited time frame between that coursework, being in residency, having to learn so much. So I think there is a little bit of a problem with limited time, but I think also it's just not appreciated. The educators who teach, you know, anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, resident teachers, resident mentors, surgeons specifically, you know, they just figure, I got to teach this resident how to sew, how to operate, how to make critical decisions. So they either don't have the time, or they don't really have the experience or the thought that, you know, how you talk to patients, how you treat patients, bedside manner, things like that, which, be honest, some people you can't necessarily teach bedside manner. Some people are good at it, some aren't. But yes, I do believe you can improve those that aren't very good at it in terms of, you know, some of the lectures and things that go on. But it's just overlooked because it's not the emphasis. You know, and I think that goes back to maybe the culture of medicine, the culture of the doctor-patient relationship. And that's changing currently, but it used to be sort of, this is the doctor, this is the patient, the doctor says X, you do X. You don't necessarily question, you know, you just do it and you follow it. And I think that relationship is really in evolution right now in terms of a more symbiotic relationship between the two. And I think that's where this app and this technology is kind of going to lead the way to even further improving that relationship.
You're listening to Healthcare Aptitude on Healthcare Now Radio. In today's episode, we're joined by Dr. Jay Steinberg, a board-certified cardiothoracic surgeon who recently joined Mobile Smith Health as clinical advisor.
Jay, you make a really great point in terms of where the technology is going and where just general healthcare providers' digital maturation strategy is or evolution is happening, right? And so, you know, you think about telehealth, really putting together patients and providers in a digital environment to improve levels of efficiency, or, you know, in our current world to encourage less COVID transmission, right? I mean, you know, you got to continue to see patients and help them and provide care. I don't normally do kind of shameless plugs for periop on this show, but I'll actually do it now since I gushed earlier. And I'll just go full boat and just actually break the show down.
Don't hold back, Bruce.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, when we developed periop, we were just as focused on patient pre-surgical readiness as we were patient outcome effectiveness, right? So, you know, those two go hand in hand. If you're able to communicate and get a patient more ready or better prepared for your procedure, evidence suggests that you'll see decreased complications in terms of their care, right? They know what's going on, less anxiety, they move through the process much more smoothly. And then on the discharge side, well, whether you're following and you should be following ERAS protocols or your discharge protocols, the ability to drive levels of adherence post-discharge is just as important. From your perspective as a surgeon, Jay, and for the perioperative process, are those two things equal in your mind? Or, you know, would you rather see a really well-prepared patient prior to your procedures? Or would you rather see patients who are just marginally prepared, but adherent as possible on the back end of the procedure in terms of recovery?
Right. So I think they're complementary, those two sort of aspects of what this is improving. I think they're complementary and they're interrelated. And so the way I would say it is by having, you know, an application, by having a digital platform that a first helps the patient through, you know, necessary tasks preoperatively, helps the clinician monitor that and track that to improve compliance. And it's done again, it, you know, what I like about this and why I got interested and involved is it's done in sort of real time. It's kind of real time, you know, adherence with a dashboard and assigned tasks where you can actually modify patients' behaviors before they become problematic. So I think that the first part of it, improving that patient engagement, empowering the patients to have more of a sort of, you know, say in what they're doing and, you know, a say in their overall outcome and things like that and compliance. I think that number one, you know, that's crucial. But I think in terms of complementary, that's one part of it. But then, all right, the surgery's done. Our job is done in the operating room. But if you also have another component to that to help in real time digitally educate and remind the patient, all right, now we're post-operative. If you have something that helps them find things early in their course that might be tending towards a potential complication, for instance, a wound infection, right? Well, would I rather have a patient day one or two of a wound infection developing, be able to get a hold of me or be able to see, you know, I either track it and they engage in it rather than 5 days later, now they're at more risk for a more serious complication, right? So I think that that part of it, you know, is again, complementary to the preparation part. Now that they're more educated and watching out for things, if their post-op course takes a little turn off the perfect path you want, by recognizing that early, it's no different than what I've been working on for 20 years with cancer screening. Early detection can be enormous, not just in patient outcome, in cost to the hospital system and the healthcare system in general. So that's why I say it's complementary. One kind of doesn't go without the other, they're hand in hand. And so to have both components, that's what actually made me even more excited about this platform.
It's funny too, because having that kind of relates to that symbiotic relationship you're talking about, how the patient is now more informed and able to have a different kind of relationship with his or her physician provider because they have the information. And you know what, Jay, it sure beats, and I'm guilty of this too, getting the information via an application like the Periop app, sure beats saying to your doctor, you know, I Googled this. You know, I think every physician in the world, and I've been guilty of it, saying, you know, yeah, doctor, geez, I Googled this, and they're like, oh my goodness, dear Lord. So I think this really does help even on the simple, not educating the patient, but in the way they should be educated, not in their leaving them to their own devices kind of education.
Right. And I will tell you, as a surgeon who's practiced, you know, for over 20 years, I developed these relationships with patients preoperative, intraop, postop, and ones for life. And that was very, now I look back on it, very time consuming in terms of phone calls. Mm-hmm. I used to give out my cell number. I know many physicians don't do that, mm-hmm, but I gave out my cell number. I still do. And it's a lot of phone call, and I encourage it, and I would still do it. And I found that by doing that, you know, you just have better relationships, better outcomes. Well, to me, what this sort of whole digital platform can do is kind of like all of that in one, mm-hmm, and much more time efficient for both the patient, for the surgeon, rather than, you know, phone calls at all kind of hours and explaining things. That really just makes things a lot more time efficient, I find. At least that's the way I see it, you know, as it rolls out. It's going to make that aspect of things much more efficient for both parties.
You raise a good point here. One of the challenges, and maybe slightly a concern that we had when developing Periop, was the impact on provider satisfaction, right? We knew that we could impact patient satisfaction just by having the patient more formed with appropriate information versus Googling their way into a procedure. And so one of the concerns we have was, well, we know we could decrease the amount of time it takes to get a patient through the preoperative assessment, right? That's part of the efficiency benefits of Mobile Smooth Periop. But one of the areas that we really felt strongly that we wanted to improve or support is provider satisfaction. And I'll dial up a recent interview we had with one of the NICU team members and leaders at South Shore Hospital. And she basically said that the app we developed with them, because there are some bi-directional components of their app where patients can update information and checklists, that her team felt better knowing that the patient was actually moving along at the right pace and was fully prepared for dealing with their newborn infant at home. And, you know, a similar correlation, I imagine the reason you gave out your personal cell phone number was because you wanted to make sure and be mindful about where your patients were prior to and after their surgery. And I think that's probably a missed challenge that providers face. Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges on the provider satisfaction side or provider wellness side as it relates to not knowing and knowing?
Sure, I could definitely do that. And I'll just lead off by saying any digital platform that has been shown that will decrease, number one, cancellations of surgery or patients not showing up or things like that, you know, anything that can do that right off the bat is going to improve, you know, surgeons' satisfaction, because not having patients come in, canceling for certain reasons that were preventable, you know, that can lead to a lot of dissatisfaction. So anything, any digital platform like this that right off the bat is shown to prevent cancellations or reduce cancellations, that's going to lead to provider satisfaction right off the bat. And then second to that, you know, reducing preventable readmissions because of better education of patients, you know, better knowledge, better instructions, better care coordination, things like that. Well, I can't tell you. I mean, you know, you can assume if I have a patient or if I have patients and less of them are being readmitted for things that were preventable, I'm going to be pretty satisfied. And then I know another third component of things is not just you as a provider, but your staff. Anything that makes the staff more efficient and can lead to them doing other things and being more efficient and effective, that's going to improve satisfaction. So to me, everything that the digital platform hits on in terms of improving, I mean, it's a cumulative effect of how much the providers and the staff are going to be satisfied from that.
Thank you for that. I mean, I think you broke it down very, very well. There are a number of healthcare systems that have been and are continuing to experiment with patient adherence risk stratification scores, right? Where, okay, we take a look at the patient's socioeconomic background, their education, their caregiver component in their home, and we then make some determination as to what level of, let's say, support they need prior to and post-engagement, right? What are your thoughts on that?
I think those processes are still being looked at, still being researched, but completely underutilized. One of the biggest problems that I faced in promoting lung cancer programs and specifically lung cancer screening is 10 years later, after Sentinel articles about the improved outcomes with it and decreased mortality, it is still not widely accepted. It is still completely underutilized here in this country and globally. Estimates would say 5 to 10% of high-risk patients who could get lung cancer screening with a low-dose CAT scan are getting them. 90 to 95% are not. And the reason I'm bringing that up in context with this is because my vision and my feeling is that the research on these kind of things, on improving, you know, patient compliance, it can't just come from a physician. A physician alone has to help champion it. But there is this other side of it, which is the business side, the statistical side, IT side. People who know statistics and research better than some clinicians do. I brought up the lung cancer screening because it can't just be a lung surgeon like myself going out and explaining it to family doctors and other people and patients. It has to really be a combined effort between different groups of people who they focus on different things. They have expertise in different things. And then they come together with that expertise to then do these kind of research projects and see what improves patient compliance to therefore overall improve patient outcomes. And so, you know, the way I look at it, this is my whole reasoning for partnering and coming, you know, to you, Mobile Smith Health app, or obviously Mobile Smith Health through this app, because the way I look at it is it's a partnership of the clinician knowing what they know and the technology, the business, the technology part, and the IT part knowing what they know. And you combine those two expertise to get something like this out there and widespread, you know, widespread implementation of it. Because again, I think you need champions in each sector to really make it work. So this research, I think, you know, what it's showing, it's so underutilized because you need champions from both sectors to really push it through.
Well, Jay, that's great. I mean, and MobileSmith certainly, and healthcare certainly has a champion in you, which is great that you've joined this organization. And before we wrap up, time to get out your crystal ball a little bit. Where do you see this digital platform, this ecosystem? Where would you like to see it in a year from now, 5 years from now? Any thoughts on that?
Sure. And just so you know, I mean, to me, this time is crucial. In addition to taking care of patients, educating, that is a huge side of it, as we've been talking about over the past 45 minutes. So this is crucial, you know, this time spent to get the word out, to educate people and also to alert people as to what is out there that can actually help their system and their patients. So where I would like to see this go, just like with lung cancer screening, one of my passions, is more and more the widespread application of these platforms. So getting it out there in more and more places where you can affect greater patient outcomes. To me, the other sort of side of this, other than the perioperative side, is how this may ultimately down the road be integrated into not just patients who are getting operations and surgery for certain conditions, but patients who have chronic problems, chronic medical conditions. And so, okay, they may not be going in for, you know, a 2 or 3 hour operation and need to know what to do to prepare for it. And they need to know what to look for afterwards and the proper instructions on what to do and what not to do, but opening up to a whole nother sector of patients who may not necessarily be having an operation, but who have chronic conditions that they need to be able to engage themselves with their providers in more to better their outcomes, better their, you know, improve their disease processes over time and not end up in a hospital, not end up needing surgery maybe for something. And then you're talking about really globalizing it to so many more millions and millions of patients who can have this kind of platform and improve their health and wellness.
That's such a huge point. You know, Bruce and I have talked about this, the impact on the chronic patients, like you talked about, the impact it would have on those in places like, you know, rural environments and things like that, where sometimes chronic care kind of slips to the side a bit, but having the ability of something like this to help with them, because that's obviously chronic, it's lifelong. And we saw that impacted so much during COVID, those with chronic care conditions, it kind of slipped to the side.
Shameless company plug, we are in development of a pericondition management app that will be used to support clinicians that are working with patients who are dealing with chronic conditions. These are folks that could most benefit from a lifestyle health app that is focused on clinician-driven task assignment and adherence tracking. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a natural extension of the periop product, and it's already on our roadmap. It is refreshing, I will tell you, in my career to hear a surgeon talk about that, right? Quite often, you know, surgeons fit themselves into a bit of a box that revolves around the procedure. And, you know, they think from procedure to procedure to procedure, which is where we want them to be sometimes, just to make sure that the machine runs well. But I think Jay's vision as a surgeon is much more expansive. And in many ways, he talks like a clinician. And so, you know, this has been very helpful for us as we've considered and thought about how we break down barriers for periop within the perioperative environment, but also how we bridge the gap between perioperative care and post-care lifestyle adherence. And it's a wonderful conversation to continue to have as we develop the product out.
Jay, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you taking the time today. And I know, Bruce, and I would love to have you back maybe in a few months for an update on things.
That would be wonderful.
That's all we have time for this month's episode of Healthcare Aptitude. Be sure to join us next month as we investigate more about the use of mobile technology in healthcare. Remember to catch the show on Healthcare Now Radio every weekday at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, visit www.mobilesmith.com. Send your questions to sales@mobilesmith.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, be well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Healthcare Aptitude, sponsored by Mobile Smith Health. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Healthcare Now Radio.